Hey guys, happy Saturday. Trust you well wherever you're at. Thought I'd do my quick video update for the day. It is a beautiful day here in Massachusetts and the sun is shining. I'm having a coffee here, working on a message for tomorrow, and I'm about to go and sit in my garden and write a song. My work program for the day. Hey, if you are in New England tomorrow, I'll be speaking tomorrow morning in Sturbridge Worship Center. You're going to be speaking about the future of the church. I'm going to be going back and looking at what the church got right and wrong over the last 2,000 years and then projecting that into the now and the future. I'm also going to be talking about the end times, which is, it's always interesting to do. It's like walking through a minefield at times. It's really interesting. I'm going to try this out tomorrow in my church, but... In my experience, people have only really heard one view of the end times, and when you get locked into that view, it's actually really hard to recalibrate and see other views. Whenever I talk to anybody about the end times, this is about 99% of my experience, I find people have an emotional buy-in to a point of view. And whenever you question them and say, is that actually biblical? Some of the Bible says it's like you've insulted their kids or their dog or their cat. And my point is they believe it not because they've searched the scriptures and found that to be so, or even because they've thought through it logically, rather because it's kind of like, this is how my mom and dad believed, or this is how the church I went to or the group I've been part of believed. And I'm going to go through tomorrow the four main views of the end times and how I actually think there's truth in all of them. They should be lenses that we look at things from, and they should affect how we live. So, interesting. If you're able to come tomorrow, the Sturbridge Worship Center, or we'll be online around about 10:45-ish, and I'll be live streaming that message. Good. Hey, let me share something with you just real quick. You know, it's funny, but I've got like a love-hate relationship with the message of faith. What do I mean by that? I mean, I've always fought this for years, but probably the main call of God on my life, excuse me moving this, is to preach the message of faith. That's really the primary call. I'm called to preach the gospel to the lost, but I'm called to preach faith to the found and to help people step out of stupidity and superstition and, you know, rabbit's tails and beads, charismatic rabbit's tails and beads, and really grasp the message of faith. And to be honest, there's like lots of times in my life when I fought with that call, probably because some of the people teaching faith, who were known for teaching faith, haven't always seemed to be, to me anyway, the best examples. That's okay. There are bad and good examples in every stream of Christianity. You know, if somebody were to say, hey, apologetics is bad because Ravi Zacharias left a terrible testimony, I would go, no, apologetics is good, even if Ravi didn't live that out in that sense. So the message of faith is so vital. I just love it, and I'm accepting my call probably more than anything. And I want to give you a quick gem that's really helped me in understanding faith. You know, Jesus measures faith. There is this, the church gets so politically correct and we try to be so nice at times that we become unbiblical. You know, there's an idea. I've been preaching healing for years, and I've always heard people say, I've always heard this kind of anecdotal tale of some preacher who goes around laughing at somebody in a wheelchair and saying, you don't have enough faith. Oh. You're not healed because you don't have enough faith. And I have to be honest, maybe I've had a sheltered life, even though I've lived on two continents and been in many nations and thousands of churches. I've never heard anybody say that to anybody else. I've never said it to anybody. Nobody's ever said it to me. I've never heard anybody say to anybody, you don't have enough faith. And yet, here's my point. Jesus said it all the time. Jesus measures faith. Jesus quantifies faith. Some people would come to Jesus. Again and again, we see Jesus looking at somebody and saying, why is it you have so little faith? He said it to his own disciples in Mark 9. How is it you have no faith, O ye of little faith? At times, like with the centurion or the woman of Canaan, Jesus would say, I've not seen so great faith. Woman, great is your faith. In Luke 18, Jesus tells a story about a widow woman coming to a wicked judge. And at the end of it, Jesus says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? You may be asking, what is my eschatological viewpoint? It's that. Yeah? I can't change in a way what Satan will do. I can't even change what the Lord will do. I can change what I can do, what the body of Christ does. And Jesus says, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? So God is looking for faith. And I think my point in saying that is we should never be condemning if we point at somebody else, or more importantly, point at ourselves and say, do you have enough faith? Do I have enough faith? We should never condemn anybody else. And of course, we should never condemn ourselves. Condemnation has no part in this story. And yet, just because we don't want to condemn somebody, it is actually useful to quantify. It's useful to say, where am I at? The Bible says, examine yourselves and see whether you be in faith. Look at yourself. Take your time out. Check. And here's what I've learned. How can we measure our faith? How do we measure our faith? There are two quick answers that spring to mind. There are probably more than these, but here's how I found in my life I measure faith. And I'll give the quick answer first and then the main one. At times I'll measure my faith by being around other people who have great faith. Yeah. There's a conference I go to with some friends every summer in Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I go there for several reasons. I actually go to be with my friends who I love. Hi, guys. I go there to sit under the Word for, I don't know, 8-12 hours a day. In this conference, there is literally, you know, 3 or 4 hours teaching in the morning, 3 or 4 hours teaching in the afternoon, 3 or 4 hours teaching in the evening, and it's great. You just sit there kind of being washed. And your faith rises even in an imperceptible way. But I also go there to, I want to follow those who through faith and patience, which means consistency, inherit the promises. I love seeing people in ministry who are ahead of me. You know, it's a hard thing to say. I find a nice way of saying this. But most of the time in ministry, I'm speaking to people who are behind me, or who don't know as much as I know, or haven't been in the faith as long, or haven't had the experience of those things. And that's okay. It's like I'm the dad in the situation. I'm giving out to others. But it's equally important that we all find those who can speak into our lives, follow those who through faith and patience inherit promises. And how do you measure your faith? I love being around people who have bigger faith than I do. And the danger is we can get jealous, or we can criticize, oh, well, what do they know? And we can find a way not to follow them. But I like embracing the pain, if you will, of being around some people who've done things that I've never done. And it challenges me, and it stretches me, and it pulls me up to a higher level. Okay, answer number two. We measure our faith. I don't like this, but it's true. We measure our faith by noticing our reactions when we're in trials, temptations, testing, trials. James puts it this way in James 1. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into temptations, testing, trials. Knowing this, the trying of your faith works patience. And it's only really when your faith is put on trial, when your faith is tested, that you find out if you have faith or how much faith you have. You can think you have all the faith you want in the world for divine healing. But when you get sick, you're actually going to find out what you really believe or what you don't believe. I don't think we should pray for trials, tribulations, persecutions, all those things, because they will come anyway. They will happen. My point is, though, we should notice what happens to us when we're in those situations. Right, I'm getting somewhere with all of this. Here's my takeaway with you guys today. I want to leave you with this thought. I think what most of us do is we wander on merrily in life until some disaster hits us, until we get a doctor's report, until COVID hits, until we lose, you know, financially we take a hit, those kind of things. And then we find ourselves in crisis, we examine ourselves, and then we find ourselves in deficit. We find ourselves missing or lacking something in our faith. Paul writes to the Thessalonians and he says, I want to make up that which is lacking in your faith. It's like I want to take up the slack. And when we find ourselves in those places, we can see sometimes, ooh, my faith isn't where I thought it was. And what we usually do is we go to work because of a crisis to develop our faith to meet the needs of the crisis. So imagine somebody who's in, you know, great health, and then they go to a doctor and they get some diagnosis of cancer, and then they go, oh, gotta have faith to beat cancer. Well, amen, I'm with you. Drop me a comment, I'll pray for you if you're in that situation. But here's my takeaway today. Rather than developing faith for the past, rather than trying to develop faith to pay the debts we ran up yesterday, what about developing faith for the future? I think there's a place in God where we can be constantly growing and stretching and developing our faith for the needs of today, amen, but a little bit extra for the needs of tomorrow. You know, for many years I've consistently done this where I invest money every day. If I have a debt, and I don't have any debts in the world, a debt is when you spend the money yesterday you hope to earn today. An investment is when you take the money you earned yesterday, you invest it today for the benefit of tomorrow. Now, the same way, if every day I can be feeding my faith for this day, for this Saturday, amen, but I'm putting a little extra beside for tomorrow and for Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and for you and your friends and my church, it's not enough to have faith for yourself. Invest your faith for the future. Sow your faith and you'll reap your faith by sowing God's word. Boom. That's my little thought for the day, guys. I trust you well. Let me know if I can pray for you. And again, check out my website, gjm.org. A big shout out and thanks to all of our ministry partners as well, those who pray and give and support and allow us to do what we do. We love you and hope to see you in person soon in the plan of God. Bye for now.